I suppose you follow the news as I do, or you read the newspapers. And once again, during the last week, your faith, my faith, Christianity has come under attack. Seems to pretty frequently these days. And during the last week, we've had the attack on the church almost coming as a sort of pincer movement. I was never in the military, but I understand, I think that's the correct phrase. A pincer movement which is coming from two sides to squeeze our faith, maybe to question our faith and what sort of influence our faith, our religion should or shouldn't have on society that we're part of. You see, firstly was the National Secular Society. They won that case to ban prayers at council meetings. Although I do understand that once again it's going to be challenged. But then there was a survey conducted by a group fronted by none other, a very educated, knowledgeable man, Richard Dawkins. And the survey concluded that though there was 72% of our population that said they were Christian, very few of them went to church. And it led me to think, in that sort of situation, with what we're fronted with, how should the church present itself? That's you and me. You see, times are changing. We do live in a very challenging, changing, ever-increasing secular society. How do we present the truth of the church and live as the people of the church? Now, you're planning, I don't know how far the plans have gone so far, but you're planning to build a new church. I wonder whether the people of Evesham that your church is going to be part of are not too interested in what the building's going to be like, whether it's got a pointed roof or a flat roof or a tower or no tower, but whether people are more interested as to what sort of people you are and whether Christianity in today's society is relevant. Jesus gives the answer to the question I pose. How should the church present itself today? And he says it in many, many less words than I'm going to say it in. And he said, love one another. Three words, and you'll forget many of my words, but remember those three words. Jesus said, present the church by loving each other. What did he mean? Do we need to be a sort of happy, clappy church where everybody's embracing each other and kissing each other and going about life like that? No, I don't think he's talking here about a feeling or an emotional love that may be between a husband and a wife, but he's rather suggesting that we be loving to each other. Jesus said, love one another. Let others see that the Christian faith is so much more than whether we go to church regularly or only occasionally. So the title, and you've possibly got it on a sheet in front of you, that I've given for this morning's word is Living or Loving. It's a bit sort of short, really, and what do I mean by it? I may have got it wrong. You can tell me afterwards that I've got it wrong, got it right or wrong. Living or loving. What I'm asking, really, is, are you a church that lives and comes together, or are you a people who love and embrace each other. Do you live together, come together, or do you love each other? I don't know. I can say the words in honesty, but I leave you to pick it up. But then Jesus went on to say that if you do love each other, all will know that you are my disciples. We often say, I can't talk to people about my Christian faith. I'm no good at witnessing or whatever. But the biggest impact that the Christian church, Jesus is saying it, not me, the biggest impact that we can have on society today is to be loving towards each other. So how do we live? How should we love each other? Well, listen to what Jesus says. He says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And then he quantifies how we should love each other. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So what can we glean from the life of Jesus that will enable us to go about impacting the society that we live in by showing our love for each other? How did Jesus love those that he came into contact with? I'm going to give you three ideas because that's what people are supposed to do. But can I say, I think as Christians, we ought to go back and read the Gospels, not at the expense of other things, but frequently. Because in the Gospels, we've got a picture of how Jesus went about living as a human being. You see, firstly, I'd like to suggest that he loved by serving. And to understand his words that we've read together, we need really to read back to what Jesus has previously shared with his disciples. You see, we came in the middle of almost a series. We've dropped into the middle at the end of John chapter 13, when really John chapter 13 and 14 all very much run together and are part and parcel of one sort of incident in the life of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to understand his words, love one another as I have loved you, and I'm suggesting that he loved by serving, we go back and find how he served. You've only got to turn a page and you go back to the start of chapter 13 and this is what we read. The evening meal was being served. Remember the story? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel round his waist, poured water into a basin, washed his disciples' feet, and then proceeded to dry them with the towel that was wrapped around him. I wonder, as the disciples sat there, I wonder if John, who wrote these words, saw what Jesus was doing and nudged his brother and said, one of us ought to have done that. You see, certainly these events and words of Jesus had an ongoing impact on John's life. It influenced all of his writings. Go back into John, his letters, and you'll see very much what Jesus is saying is carried into his letters. So in one of his letters, he says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he's not seen. Whoever loves God must love his brother. And you know what's coming next? And who is my brother? Who is my brother or sister in the context of the church? And if you look out back over Jesus' life and see the sort of people that he met, he didn't make or have any favorites. He went to all. So Jesus would say this morning, who is your brother? It's the one sitting next to you. Oh, and the one behind you. Yeah. And the one you perhaps try to avoid. Your brother or your sister, the one you're to serve, is the one who needs you. The one Jesus called you to serve. The one you shouldn't just live with, but you should love. Jesus, or should I say John, went on to say in his letter again, let us not love with words. Yes, we can love with words, of course. But again, it needs to be put into the context of what he was saying. But he said, let us not love with words, but with actions or service and in truth. Love one another. Jesus loved by serving. But those words of John bring us to the second point that I'd like to bring out. Let us not love with words, but with actions and in truth. You see, secondly, Jesus loved by being sincere. Sincerity. I was always taught when I was at school that you signed a personal letter with the words, yours sincerely. I don't know, perhaps we don't get many letters these days. It's all emails and things, isn't it? And the jargon and the language is perhaps ruining the English language. I don't know. Sincerity. Jesus loved by being sincere. It's being honest. It's being true to ourselves. It's being true to others. It's genuine. What's inside ought to be what's on the outside. A year or so ago, my wife took her wedding ring to be altered to the jewellers. And as you can accept, her wedding ring is still reasonably precious after 40-odd years. And she was a bit conscious about leaving it and making sure it's going to be looked after. But having put it on the counter, the jeweller went out the back and he came back with his glass and he looked at it. And he was able to tell her it was a genuine article. Able to tell her what the gold was that it was made from, what gold would be necessary to attend to the work that she wanted on it. Jesus said, love by being sincere, genuine. Jesus often says, in order to emphasize his sincerity, I tell you the truth. In fact, in this very chapter, he's saying it in verse 16. I tell you the truth. If you go through John's gospel, you'll find that he says it a couple of dozen times almost. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you what you need to hear. And telling the truth can be jolly difficult. It resulted for Jesus occasionally with violence and even rejection. People planned after hearing certain things that he told them to see how they could get rid of him. But his words of truth were always sincere and in love, and when received, changed individuals, built relationships, defused situations. And in the chapter that we've got in front of us, we've got two situations where Jesus had to be very sincere. See, go back in again the earlier part of that chapter 13. And Jesus says this, I tell you the truth. I'm telling you sincerely. Listen to me. One of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, and one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, leaning back against Jesus, asked, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread. And then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas. And Jesus said to him, what you're about to do, do quickly. Truth? Because I wonder still whether Judas had the opportunity of changing his mind even at that late stage. Was there anger or cursing or violence or any such thing from Jesus? No, just compassionate love. But then even later, Jesus had to again speak honestly to Peter. Remember Peter? I'm with you right through thick and thin, Jesus. I'll lay down my life for you. Will you? Said Jesus. And again, what does it say in the verses that we've got in front of us? Jesus said to Peter, I tell you the truth. Before the cock crows, you'll disown me three times. Friends, let's not forget that this man, though the Son of God, was also the Son of Man. He was one of us, and he must have found it extremely difficult to say some of the things that he had to say. It's so much easier often, isn't it, to remain silent, to hope it'll go away, or to sweep it under the carpet. Jesus was speaking from his heart in love, in truth, and sincerely. And perhaps all of us need to practice the practice of sincerity and truth and being honest with each other. That's not to go around telling people what they should or they shouldn't do because we're treating them in love. But often the alternative to lack of sincerity is that there's gossiping and backbiting and whispering. And the impression that the church, the people outside get of the church isn't one of loving each other. Go back to Acts, early part of Acts, when the church was started. The church was talked about as being a group of sincere people. Jesus loved through service. Jesus loved through being sincere. These are the ways he wants you and me to treat each other and to love in the church. But then lastly, Jesus loved through sacrifice. You see, the words of Jesus to love each other are really very pivotal. It's in the middle of the chapters that I'm bringing to you. And to put the words into context, we've had to go back and look at what preceded him saying, love one another as I have loved you. But now we need to look forward. To Judas, Jesus has said, what you're about to do, do quickly. to confused disciples, he said, "Where I'm going, you can't come." Perhaps almost to himself at the end of chapter 14, he utters, "Come now, let's leave." And he gets up with his disciples, walks out of a room, and closes the door. And there's now only the shadow of the cross that's the path in front of him. And to a motley crew, a ragtag and bobtail, if you like, that would become the church, he turns and says to them in chapter 15, "Love each other as I have loved you. And greater love has no man than that he lays down his life for his friends." That, people, is sacrificial love. And that's his command to you and me this morning. Love one another as I have loved you. So let's listen and obey that command. Let's practice that command more than perhaps any of us have done in the past. Let's learn not just to live with each other, but to love each other and to let all people know that Christianity isn't just about attending church. It's being a people of faith. It's being disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment quietly reflecting on those words. Things that Jesus may have said to you as I've shared them. And in a moment, we're going to sing another song together. Let's be quiet for a moment. You may wish to just pray quietly to the Lord over things that have said, about relationships, about issues, about what you could do to make this a more loving fellowship.